Now, it's time for a little R&R.
Ball into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
I'm looking forward to relating to my two co-hosts about the experience in watching an 18-inning playoff game. I'm looking forward to this. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Katt. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. A 6 hour and 40-minute World Series Game 3. It's the second longest in terms of time allotted baseball game in the history of the World Series. And it is the technically tied for the longest in terms of 18 innings played. Dodgers take a 2-1 series lead. Freddie Freeman with a walk-off solo home run in the 18th inning. Ended at around 2:50 a.m. Eastern time.
Wait, so the Jays didn't win 4-2?
No, they did not.
They didn't win 4-2?
No, they did not.
I was up. No. Kyle.
Me.
Guys, you saw me after the show yesterday. For those of you that don't know, Colin and I, we had a really early morning, Monday morning, and, you know, we, Kyle, what did you tell me when we got into our cars? You go, 14 hours ago, we met at this spot. That's exactly what you told me. And
I was at 6 p.m.
I was running on an hour and a half of REM sleep after a 14-hour workday. So I made it until 10:15. I was passed out by 10:15. I was tapped out.
Everybody who
I tried to play it.
I was losing people by the inning of people that I could talk to for about the game because I was still texting people. Hey, you keeping it like, wow, what a play here. And I'm just starting in all the chats, I'm starting to talk to myself. And it happened in about five or six different chats because even our Russo and Rizzo chat, Brian Rowitz, our content director, was with us. Christian was with us through at least, the 10th, 11th inning. And then, eventually, my texts started stacking.
Yep.
Nobody ended up responding. And it was one of the more bizarre, because this is relatable to the Mariners-Tigers Game 5, which was on a Friday about 2.5 weeks ago, which went until about 1 in the morning. This was a Monday night, tied up against a Monday night football game. This game started at 8, and it ended at 2:50 a.m. Eastern time. 2:50. You had Joe Davis and John Smoltz in the broadcast booth basically praying that the Dodgers would walk it off every time you hit to the back of the bottom of each inning. An 18-inning gauntlet of a game. Unbelievable. It was so bad in terms of, it was a great game, excellent game, but it was so bad to the point that the Dodgers, who their pitcher Yamamoto threw a complete game 2 days prior, and he was warming up. It was 2 days prior he threw a complete game, and he was warming up in the 18th inning. It was a true testament to the people that can sit through that. And listen, that was great. You want to sit through and watch that and enjoy yourself? Loved it. But after that Kershaw pitch, the solo batter he saw when he went against Nathan Lucas, bases loaded in the 12th inning. After he got out of that, all eyes were on the Dodgers to close it right then and there. They did not. When they did not, that's when the game started to hit a skid where there was not a lot of offense. The pitching with the bullpens were both dominating. And you're sort of just, oh my goodness, somebody's got to finish this. It's 2 in the morning. It's 1:45. It's 2:15. It's 2:30. But there are people out there that were complaining about the length. And listen, that's exactly what I just did. It was a little long. But that is fun to watch. There's no doubt.
Well, the people that were complaining about the length were the wrong people that should have been complaining about the length, right? It was the West Coast people. It was the people on the West Coast. The Dodger fan had to be burdened staying up past 11 o'clock. That's a normal weeknight for us baseball junkies over here who want to watch the late night games.
It's ridiculous. Okay. That's a Monday night football game finish. And I had Joe Davis and Smoltz and all the guys, Clinton Yates, who was in the stands, who was live tweeting the game, talking about how all the media guys are getting out of there. It's 11 p.m. Where are we going? Where are you? Listen, 2:30 in the morning, we could have a conversation. It's 11 p.m. Pacific time. I can't listen to that. The game started at 5. I can't listen to that. That is nonsense. That is nonsense. And Joe, and you heard it in the broadcast. Boy, everybody was running on fumes. Bizarre.
Like me on the air yesterday. All of them were like me on radio yesterday.
Yeah, jeez, like, oh man. Oh gosh. Yeah. Every time there was a strikeout to end the inning. Oh no. We'll be back after this timeout where Fox has to tell you about Fox related things because they ran out of advertisements.
Yeah, I heard the promo started playing.
They ran out of advertisements.
The promo started playing.
3 hours before the game finished.
I lied to people.
Is that unethical? For a baseball game to go that long? Do we need a fix?
No. You don't need a ghost runner in the playoffs. Sorry, mate.
What about like 13th inning? No. Can we have a conversation?
Dude, it's baseball. There's no ghost runners in the playoffs. I hate the ghost runner rule to begin with. So you're telling me, Colin, in 9 innings of the game being played, there were 10 runs.
It's great.
In the next 9, there was 1? Yeah. That sounds like a you problem. That sounds like a team problem.
Like, bizarre.
And especially with the pitchers that were being thrown, you know? I mean, you're telling me you couldn't score a run? That's them. That's on the teams. Like, and then my thing is, for everyone who doesn't want to stay up, don't watch. Go to bed.
It was...
Everyone acts like they hate baseball anyway. Go to bed then. You know what I mean? All people do is complain about baseball. And then you're up at 3 in the morning complaining about the game being at 3 a.m. Do you hate baseball or not? It sounds like you like baseball. Right? I don't know. Like, I was sleeping because my body shut down. My kidneys were about to give out. All right? That's why I went to bed. But at the same time, like, for everyone who is complaining about the game going too long, would you stay up for it? Yeah. Well, you could have went to bed. Well, I wanted to finish the game. Well, I thought you hated baseball. Like, that's my thing. People complain about baseball, the kingdom come. They're complaining about staying up for the game. Brother, you could have went to bed. One run was going to do it anyway. Now, I know it doesn't tell the whole story. You know, you want to be coherent and present for these games. I get it, man. Trust me.
I don't know how coherent I was at 2:10.
But
Colin, do you
understand what I'm saying? Yes. Everyone is always complaining about baseball, yet the ones that are complaining about baseball are complaining about being up at 3 a.m. Brother, go to bed. Then go to bed.
888-760-3776. Palm Beach County residents, did you make it through the game? Did you watch the whole thing? Were you able for 6 hours and 40 minutes on a work night for most people to sit there and get through that game? I was lucky enough to be able to. Boy, I crashed right after the game ended. But let us know. 888-760-3776. Christian, what point of the game did you tap out? What point?
After the 10th.
10th inning, did you make a conscious decision or did you fall asleep?
I turned the TV off, so it was like groggy, half conscious, but I knew what I was doing.
That was a conscious decision.
That was a calculated bet because I am so happy I went to bed. You're mad when you go to bed when a crazy finish happens if it's the following inning. It's like, oh man, all I had to pay attention was 5 more minutes.
You quite literally bought yourself 3 hours.
Yeah, like that is a good decision I made. I had golf in the morning. That sleep was at a premium. Yeah, I made a good decision by going to bed and missing 8 hours of baseball. Eight more innings of baseball.
Wow. 10th innings. Yeah. Wow.
What time did you wake up? So you went to bed at 3?
I was planning on going to the gym. I faded that. That was not going to happen.
So you went to bed at 3?
I woke up at around 8.
So you got 5.
It said about 4 hours on my 4.5 hours on my watch.
So you're running on 7 hours of sleep in 2 days.
About 8. Not bad. We're alive. But, I mean, I'm glad I stayed up because that was an awesome game. Awesome game.
That's I thought it was a great game. Like, I could have just went to bed and just pretended I knew the winner. Like, I thought it was a good 9 innings of baseball. And like, you know what? We're good. Like that.
It really was. It was the best game, one of the best games of the postseason through 9.
Yeah.
And that was before the second game. It basically happened immediately after. It was to the point, I actually thought the broadcast did a bad job. Because Joe Davis, who calls the Dodger games nationally throughout the year, he calls the Dodger games. He is essentially rooting for the Dodgers in the booth throughout the last 3 or 4 innings of the game. I get it. People want to get the heck out of there. You can love baseball. You can't love. I mean, geez, there's a certain point I can't watch a 24-hour marathon. But he was actively rooting for the Dodgers in that game.
Well, yeah, there was this, like the Will Smith deep ball to the track.
And which was right at the track, which was probably the 14th inning, I believe. The closest the Dodgers got to ending the game. Here's what Joe Davis's call sounded like.
Smith! Muncy's 18th inning walk-off in 2018.
It's going! Oh, no!
I don't know. Was that bias or just begging the game to end?
I think it was a mixture of
I think it was more I think it was more of begging the game to end than anything, but...
Oh, yeah. If the Blue Jays were... If this was game two, I think he'd have the same reaction, to be honest.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Like, it was, the home team, chance to win the game, end it right there. Doesn't matter which team it was.
Yeah, call it a walk-off in a World Series game, in a great World Series game, that is. So I get it. But it is funny, because you definitely saw the Dodger-ness to what he does in his actual day job. Yeah. You saw it bleed through.
He's used to it. He's used to it.
You know. Saw it bleed through. 6 hours and 40 minutes. And the funny part is, there's a game in about 4 hours. Yeah.
How late do you think these guys slept until?
I'm sure they
noon
didn't do.
West Coast
I'm sure
time.
They didn't do any BP today.
Right.
And now they got Shane Bieber versus Shohei Ohtani on the mound tonight, and both bullpens are completely depleted, completely. So now you're going to be sitting there thinking, "All right, hell or high water, Bieber, you're going 7, and Shohei, you're going 8," because it was to the point where everybody was used, everybody other than other pitchers, which is why, to Mike's point. When you have a game like this, whether you didn't love staying up till 3 in the morning to watch it, now the good news is this game 4 is fascinating.
It's interesting.
It's fascinating because you want to see teams depleted and have to manage their way to a victory.
Well, how they're going to deploy, you know, in my opinion, it's the race to the bullpen. Whoever gets to the bullpen first is going to win the game.
And how do they use the bullpen?
And that, and I'm interested to see if... In my opinion, the Blue Jays are desperate. I think they're going to do everything they can to win tonight's game. You can't go down 3-1. You go down 3-1, you're done.
With another game in L.A.
This isn't the 16 Cubs. You're not coming back down 3-1 against the Dodgers. All right. The Blue Jays, I think, need to treat this like a Game 7.
Now, what about the emotional, spiritual loss? You faced that last night. Probably as bad of
done.
A loss as all of those players have ever experienced in their life.
If you ask me, they're done. This series is already
done. John Smoltz has been talking about it during the game. He goes, the thing about this type of game, the loser of this game, they have 18 innings, and you could even argue 9 innings of extras of what-ifs that change the game that is going to eat at them for the next 24 hours.
I think the Dodgers, they could have afforded the loss more than the Blue Jays just because of Ohtani.
I agree with that.
Just because of Ohtani.
I agree with that. That is true. And I think you got a sense of that with how Toronto handled
it. And maybe Shane Bieber puts on a masterclass tonight. You know, Bieber is a Cy Young winner back in his days when he played for the Guardians. So this is a pitcher who has playoff experience and big-time experience.
He just hasn't played that great in the postseason.
Right. And he hasn't been as that great, you know, even since he's been back. I know he had a good outing against the Mariners. But, listen. The Dodgers could have afforded that loss. The Blue Jays can't. I think the series is all but done. I think the Dodgers go up 3-1 and then it's over. Maybe it goes 6, but I don't see this going to a game 7 if the Dodgers win tonight.
Another good thing to compare it to was back in 2018 when this exact game essentially happened. It was the longest game in World Series history. It was Red Sox-Dodgers game 3. Max Muncy walked it off. They mentioned that about 1,100 times in the broadcast.
Well, they were speaking it into existence.
Right. Max Muncy walked it off. What actually happened was that was the series in which the Red Sox won the next game. That was the following day they won that game, 9-6. And it was a game that they fell down 4 to the Dodgers and were able to score 9 runs in 2 innings to close it and win it. So the Red Sox, and now granted, are the Red Sox the Blue Jays? Absolutely not. That Red Sox team was one of the best postseason teams we've seen in the last 15 years. Toronto Blue Jays are not that, but it does go to show that when you have the right manager, right leadership in place, it is possible to recover from that loss. But you need all-time greats to be able to do that.
My another pushback on that, they're not facing this Dodger team, right? Yeah. They're not facing the task at hand of this. And listen, if you're the Blue Jays, you're really – granted, Colin, I went to bed, it was 4-2. You know what I mean? Like, I had to make the executive decision of body is shutting down. Looks like the Blue Jays are going to win. We got a series on our hand. And then sure enough, I wake up and I go.
And it was all Ohtani. And it was all Ohtani.
I go, I cannot believe that my body shut down and I missed that game. I'm usually up late as it is. Colin, you know me. I'm up till about 1, 1:30 in the morning every single night. The one time where my body shuts down and I'm not
there.
The night owl,
you got burned there.
I really did. I really did. It was fascinating as well. They decided to just do the Whakatani, right? The Whakatani.
Well, he went 4 for 4.
Yeah.
And in his fourth at bat,
they
did a mound. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. It was the funniest part of the game.
They were
fed Sir
up.
Anthony Dominguez, who has been an up and down postseason pitcher to begin with, they do a mound visit when Ohtani's coming up. And Ohtani is, you know, all right, he's 3 for 3. He's got a homer. He's got 2 doubles. He has been dominant to this point. You don't pitch him. Or if you do, you do it very carefully. So they do a mound visit with Sir Anthony. And the first pitch was a meatball in the center of the plate, fastball, basically home run derby batting practice to Ohtani. And then it allows Ohtani to tie the game in the seventh. See ya! Seventh inning. Goodbye. I was sitting there. I'm like, what did you guys even talk about the mound visit?
Right.
What did you even say to him? Don't pitch inside. That's what Smoltz said. Do nothing in the plate. If you walk him, you walk him. But geez, I mean, nothing inside the plate. And the first pitch was home run derby batting practice. We haven't even talked about Ohtani yet. 4 for 4, 5 walks. He's the second player tied for the major league record and the most bags in one game. Most bases reached in one game. 9.
They were
base 9 times. Tied an MLB record, broke a World Series record.
So I said, I woke up, Colin. I saw Ohtani. You know, you look at the box score. You look at the big score. All right, Ohtani, home run. You know, and then and then I go to the box score. I go, oh, they started intentionally walking him finally. Because I just saw the 5 BBs.
4 BBs. Walks and then another walk where he just drew it. They did. They started out 2-0. They started out 2, and everybody in the dugout's holding up the 4. Just walk them. Yeah. Going out nothing over
right.
The plate.
I started. I like I said, it was one of the first things I looked at. I saw the decisive plays. All right, you know, Freddie's home run, Ohtani tie, and then I go to the box score to go look at. Oh, 5 BBs. They finally decided enough was enough.
A bizarre part of the game too. They showed Justin Bieber in a booth, and he's next to Gary Sheffield of all people, and it's Justin Bieber, Sheffield. I believe Ryan Howard was there as well, and it's those guys. And they didn't go back to the booth when they got into the in the 10th inning because Bieber definitely hit the road. But I thought that was a bizarre combo of mixture of MLB legends and Justin Bieber.
Dude, Biebs is the man, honestly. I'm a big fan of
Bieber. He
stayed
the whole game. I can't stand the West Coast fan. Listen, the East Coast fan has a right to complain because the timing with East Coast sports is terrible.
Nuts.
8:20 Monday Night Football game. You know what's funny about this? We haven't even brought this up. The Washington Commanders played the Kansas City Chiefs in Monday Night Football. We haven't even brought that up yet. It was a quick game. It was a bad game.
Terrible game.
Terrible. It was a fast game. Really fast. Just a lot of ball control, possessions.
And Kyle, quickly, that wrapped up one of the worst weeks of NFL football in about a decade.
Bad. Really, really bad. And the Commanders lost the game. They got dressed. They packed up. They went to their team plane. They took off, and they started around the time when the Dodgers started. They took off the plane, and they were nearly landed in D.C. by the time that game ended. They were basically at home. Dodgers are doing the post-game interviews. Oh, gosh. We got a lot to talk about with that. And another thing, Shohei, when we're interviewing him at 3 in the morning, we don't need the translator shtick. You want to talk about a shtick?
Shtick. Yeah, that's a shtick.
Shohei, we know you understand the question. You've been in the United States for 8 years. I have some inclination to believe that you speak English.
You see him talk to his teammates. That's why I can't take that.
It's such
telling me the whole
team. It's 3 in the morning. I'm seeing double of Ohtani. I can't even. I'm squinting. I'm trying to stay awake.
You're telling me they're speaking Japanese to him? Come on, man.
Well, you get the translator there telling him, Ohtani, what's the emotions going into the game? Shohei, you don't need the translator for that one. You don't need the translator for that one.
I'm talking about his teammates. I see him talking to his teammates.
Right.
So you're telling me all of his teammates have learned Japanese fluently? Stop it. I'm with you on that. Kyle, you didn't turn the... I would have turned the TV off the moment Freeman...
The thing is, I wanted to hear Shohei. And then they, you know, Shohei's playing the media game. I get it. But... I don't know. I turned it off. I was listening to the Ohtani, and the second they started talking in the transfer, I'm like, I'm not listening to this. I turned it off. Shohei, I know you understand English. I know you do. I can't prove it, but I know you do. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Cat. Listen to Russo and Rizzo on the ESPN South Florida app. It's available to download for free on the App Store. Listen to us. Listen to Theoretically Speaking. Listen to all the Panther, Florida Panther, on their quest for a three-peat. Listen to all their home games. It's all in one spot, and it's all available on the App Store. Listen today, Inter-Miami, English and Spanish. It's playoff time for the Herons, so you get all that on the app. That's the ESPN South Florida app, available to download today. Russo and Rizzo, we'll take a timeout after this. But first, 888-760-3776. Did you stay up for the whole game? Is that an unethical viewing experience that you endured, or did you call it? When did you call it? Let us know. 888-760-3776. Kane is in the building.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Well, if you've been in that car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall, my friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, they're here to fight for you. They don't even charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. Let's call it like we see it. They're the best in the business for a reason. Don't settle for just any attorney. Demand Anajar and Levine today, because that's the Anajar and Levine difference. Take that one phone call. Take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call for that free consultation today. Call 1-800-747-FREE. 1-800-747-3733. Take back control now with Anajar and Levine. You think baseball is the least digestible of the major sports when it goes into that extra innings it never ends? Comparatively, extra overtime games. College football mostly comes to mind because football and NFL can end in a tie.
I love college overtime, and I'm like the only person
action.
Who I'm the
it's
only
a constant
person.
Action.
But everyone I talk to, I feel like it's too gimmicky and whatever, which is fine. I personally like it. And then NFL, I think NFL is the worst because at least in the regular season, because it could end in a tie.
Yeah.
It won't end in a tie, obviously, in playoffs and whatnot, but you're probably onto something. You're probably on this. Let's be honest with ourselves. It's probably the worst, especially if you can't get one run. Like, I go back to, all right, the first nine innings, we had 10 runs.
This is surely going to be over.
How? In a game where it's 5-5 in extra innings, another run, the fact that another run wasn't scored after another full baseball game, I think, all right, I'll listen to people saying there's a problem, but my pushback is like, that's baseball. The ghost runner thing to me is gimmicky. That's... If I'm going to play kind of devil's advocate to my own take of like a college football, you want to know what's gimmicky is the automatic runner on second. Like, if you get a base hit, that runner's coming around.
I completely agree in the sense that you don't need that man on second base.
No, but like sometimes you got things like this. My thing is like now tonight is much more appetizing, I think. The fact that last night happened makes tonight that much better.
And the funny part is the people that were able to sit through that and got through that whole game, the people who just, even if they tapped out, now you can go into this and think, all right, well, at least this is not going to be 6.5 hours. At least this is going to be a 2-hour and 40-minute game. Mm-hmm. It's going to feel like its own little thing, and it's going to be a lot more digestible. And it's also intriguing in terms of strategy.
Yeah.
And it's because I was just thinking about this. I've seen some overtimes in basketball where once you get to the third or fourth overtime, you're
over
hoping for a winner because they got the commercials. They don't stop the game. You know, guys are getting fouled out, which is a little different. You know, in baseball, they ran out of pitchers. In basketball, if you start running out of players, that's where it gets really problematic because that's when everybody starts fouling out.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, there's been some historical game, 3-overtime, 4-overtime games that just never end. But that's where you start to get into the bench guys getting in. And you saw that yesterday.
You did.
You saw that yesterday with the Blue Jays, who decided to pinch run 3 or 4 different guys earlier.
Did
burn them. You know, George Springer got hurt. That hurts them. Bo Bichette could not go 18 innings. That hurts them. And they didn't necessarily have the depth. You saw that. But it is funny to compare it because only in baseball can the game go so long where because you don't see an end in sight. You have to beat them. You have to win. And the other ones, there's a clock attached to it. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody has to be winning by the time the clock goes out. So at least we know in 5 minutes we'll have a conclusion. Whereas yesterday, not only do you have to score, you have to score and then play defense.
So is there a point in MLB postseason in extra innings where there needs to
add
be
a caveat,
ghost runner,
add a caveat.
Where there needs to be that Mickey Mouse ghost runner. I cannot stand the ghost runner.
Yeah.
But I'll listen. It's good in the regular season.
It's good in the regular season. Fine. You can't fight against that.
Fine. I disagree. I will always disagree with it, but it's
really?
Okay. I am in the minority on this.
I think in the regular season, we don't need a 14-inning game in July. We don't need that.
I disagree in the sense of playoffs and how you manage the next game. Every game's important. In my opinion, I know people disagree.
Playoffs versus regular season.
One through 162, they're all important. They're all important. And adding that ghost runner, I think, is a competitive advantage in the regular season to save arms and to strategically plan things out compared to if you have to go to extra.
And it gets the game done quicker.
That's not the argument I was trying to pull up, but I think if I'm in the minority, clearly I'm in the minority on that, fine. I live with it. The ghost runner's there, I live with it. I could live with the ghost runner in like the 13th inning, if that's what they want to do. If that's what baseball wants to do to avoid what happened last night, fine. Fine. After 13, you go to ghost runner. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. As much as I don't like the ghost runner, I think
that's just the type of game you just got to sit there and take it.
If I am in the minority of ghost runners don't belong in baseball, and you know the people who can't pay attention to the game because they have an attention span of a squirrel need a ghost runner, then fine. That's okay.
I'm okay with it in the regular season. I'm surprised you're on the other end of that.
I think it's gimmicky.
It's a little gimmicky, but the thing is, I'm not saying the game needs to be sped up, but hey, you know, games like last night, that's good when they're exclusive to the postseason. That's why that's fun. That's why Game 5, Mariners-Tigers, 15 innings was great. You know, the thing is this type of game happened a week and a half ago.
Right.
The fact is that when Mariners and Tigers, and even that Phillies-Dodgers Game 4 that went to 11 innings, that is much more fun because you don't get that in the regular season. It's almost like it's different. Similarly to how the overtime rules in the NFL, I agree, the regular season, there's not enough games for it to feel different. But the regular season, you could end in a tie. It's done. Yeah. Whereas in the playoffs, you need a winner. And you're going to keep continuing to keep going until there's a winner. That makes it, I think, different. And honestly, I like it. I think it makes it more fun. Now, when there's an 18-inning game and you're sitting there, Eric Lauer is coming out for his fourth inning and he's got 100 pitches under his belt.
He's cleaning up.
And Will Klein, who was one of the great stories of yesterday's game, who came in for four innings and basically hasn't pitched over 20 pitches all year. And he went 70 pitches, including that last out when they were man on first and third. When he is going out for his fourth inning, you're sitting there. Yamamoto's warming up. It's 3 a.m. The birds are starting to chirp. The blue collar guys are getting up to go to work. You're sitting there, oh God, can we? Freddie Freeman. And once you're hitting the top of the lineup, when you get there, and the thing with the Dodgers is when you got through the top of the lineup, I know they're so dangerous in the back half, but once Shohei couldn't do it, once Mookie couldn't do it, and once Freddie couldn't do it, you're sitting there, oh gosh, we're going to have to wait another half inning because they're not getting enough base runners. You're going to have to continue waiting.
That's why baseball is so fascinating to me and one of the hardest sports to play. Makes sense to me. How a lineup like the Dodgers can't score a run in an extra 9 innings. They scored 5. And with that lineup specifically, all right, they scored 5 in 9 innings. Baseball's great because the next 9, they scored 1. And it came on 1 swing of the bat.
Yeah.
1 swing of the bat. It's not like, all right, they loaded the bases. It was a walk. It was an RBI. No, it was just 1 swing of the bat. That's why baseball's great. I think that's why baseball is great. It's because you have this fantastic team, this all-time great team, in my opinion, in the Dodgers, that are able to score runs at will, but somehow, some way, against a pitching lineup, or pitching staff, rather, that got thrown out there that was put together by bubble gum and glue for the Blue Jays, they still couldn't get a run until the 9th inning of extra innings. That's why baseball is great. A bunch of bums. For the better half of what I'm trying to say. Bunch of bums out there that came out there for the Blue Jays in an extra 9-inning game. The Dodgers could only score 1 run against them. That's pretty cool to me. I don't know. That's baseball to me. You know what I'm saying?
And we're looking at an all-time great Dodger team.
Yeah, it's unreal.
If they're able to close it. And you got to give the Blue Jays credit because the Blue Jays are giving them all they can handle. They're taking leads. They're able to respond even after, Dodgers went up 2-0. They're able to respond. They're able to go back and forth. They're able to throw their own punch. It's just, you look at these games, the Dodgers are too good.
That was the decisive game last night.
They're too good.
I told you earlier on, the Dodgers could afford to lose that game because of Ohtani on the bump tonight. The Blue Jays and the next two games being at home, right? The Dodgers have tonight at home and the next game at home. It would have been more favorable of a for the average baseball fan like me who doesn't have a, and you, Colin, who doesn't have a dog in the fight. For the series to extend and to go longer, it would have been better for the Blue Jays
they win last
to
night.
Win last
they
night.
They guarantee it comes back to Toronto.
Correct. There's no guarantee on that. And I also think we talked about the decisive moment in the Brewer series with the Dodgers. That was game one. All right. The decisive moment happened last night for me. And I'm staying on par with my Dodgers in five. I didn't listen, nobody expected that mess last night. Okay. But I'm going to stay consistent. I still think Dodgers in five. And especially after a big momentum.
I agree with you. I have a hard time seeing the Torontos take one of the next.
After a big momentum swing like last night, I still got to stick with it. If the Blue Jays were to win that game last night, Colin, I might have been on the air saying, all right, the Blue Jays have a chance to win the series. I might have been there yesterday.
Yeah, it's the biggest game.
I might have been there today if the Blue Jays won last night just because of the momentum of swing. And you mentioned on the call, Davis and Smoltz, they kept mentioning it. You know what I mean? They kept mentioning of, you know, you're going to have 19 different reasons why and how you should have won that game because of how long this game is extending.
Just emotionally, right. Think about that for a second. If you're a team and you go 18 innings, you know, you lose a 9-inning game, you could talk about that 6th-inning game, but the game was still going to be played.
Yep.
When you're in a win, you know, you get a run on the board and you probably win. If you have that, and there's a number of opportunities there. You know, when they sent Davis Schneider past third, when they're not able to get, you know, even the Dodgers happened to Tommy Edman in the 14th inning. There's a ton of opportunities where you look back and you thought, boy, if I just did that a little differently, would we have won that game? Or if John Schneider, who's the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, didn't pinch run basically the bulk of their lineup, Addison Barger. You had Miles Straw getting his 5th at-bat in the game last night. Guys, enough Miles Straw.
I don't feel bad about that because I had to watch that bum for 3 years. I do not feel bad for that. I do not feel bad for Miles, for the nation having to watch Miles Straw for 6 hours.
5th at-bat for...
For 6 hours, they had to watch Miles
Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, who's a good fielder. We're sitting there again. Kiner-Falefa's got his 5th at-bat tonight. Unbelievable. But when you sit there and you can think about all the stuff, the ways you could have won, that would eat at you. There's going to be you're going to learn about how John Schneider is as a manager, and you're going to learn about that team and if they have a little guts, if they have a spine, because if they're able to be competitive and perhaps win tonight, that's going to be the most impressive win of this entire postseason.
Agreed.
Entire postseason, any team, anytime. That would be the most impressive win.
They're depleted. Their mojo, it seems like they lost their mojo a bit.
I would chalk that up. It was a more impressive. If they win tonight, the Blue Jays, that is, it's more impressive than last night.
Yep.
It's more impressive than the Dodgers winning last night. It's more impressive than the Seattle Mariners winning game five against the Tigers. It's more impressive than the Blue Jays coming up back down 3-1 to beat the Mariners in game seven of the ALCS.
Yep.
That would be a soul-searching victory. That's how important, I think, that this game could be if they handle that right. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Katt. The new AP poll is out. We'll get into our new top 10 with week 9 on the horizon. We got Florida, Georgia this weekend up in Jacksonville. Got a lot of good stuff. Penn State, Ohio State this weekend. Christian, you're excited for that, I'm sure?
No.
No. Mike, are you excited for that?
Honestly, no. I wanted this to be a game.
I am going to be riding a camel while that game's going on. That's what I'll be doing.
Oh, you have a camel thing set up? Oh, yeah, because you're being Turkey. You have a camel thing set up?
Yeah. I got a camel guy.
You have a camel guy. I've done camels twice.
The old man's coming in town this weekend.
Oh, he is?
So I will be watching the game with my dad.
Nice.
I'm looking forward to it. But other than that, we
is he a Buckeyes fan?
What do you think? I learned it, brother.
Could be a Cincy fan.
He's coming in on Friday, leaving on Sunday?
I don't... Let me read you the text. Let me quickly read you the text.
We don't know anything.
This is pretty crazy.
How about this? Today, 10:27 in the morning, I landed WP at 4 p.m. Friday. Just me. Birthday surprise. A day late.
Nice. That's great.
But like, birthday surprise. Day late. Could have just showed up.
My birthday's in 2 days. You really have to tell me 2 days out?
I go, let's go! !! Can't wait. And then I tagged him. I go, call me after the show. You think my dad called me after the show?
No.
Correct. I think something.
Yeah, that's a weird birthday surprise.
No. Do you want to know realistically? And listen, for a point to him, I probably would do the same thing. He's trying to get out of something. I know my family. My family has roped him into something on the
you
weekend.
Text the be careful.
Is it like a Christmas family,
don't air him out.
Don't worry. No one's listening. My family, the only one who would be listening would be the old man, and he wouldn't care. My family roped him into something, and he's trying to get out of it. That's exactly what is happening right now, and I don't blame him. Because I've been to those godforsaken Auntie Eileen's parties at noon on a Saturday where you'd rather be anywhere but, okay?
Trust me. Instead he's going to go visit his son for his 31st birthday.
Instead, he's probably going to go stay at the Breakers and lay out at the pool all day and get in the...
Dad, it's my birthday!
Yeah, I'm not going to see him. I won't see him. There's a good chance I see my dad two times, and those two times will be Friday night for dinner and Saturday for lunch because I got Inter-Miami Saturday night.
What time's the Ohio State game?
Noon. We'll be able to watch.
Okay.
Mike, you got a high school football Friday, too.
But it's at 5.
Okay. All right.
It's at 5.
In the muck.
I'll be back by 8.
I think there's a good place you can get dinner with your pops.
The muck?
Yes. I think you should drive your dad from the Breakers to Pahokee and see how he likes it there.
Yeah, wow.
This is something that my grandfather used to do to my dad when my dad would be at spring training in Winter Haven, Florida, with the Indians back in the day.
Okay.
I remember it was like something was going on. It was like a holiday. It was someone's birthday. It's one of my favorite stories. My dad looked at my grandfather, looked at my pappy, and goes, "Dad, don't you feel bad that like we're not home?" And it was like snowing on the team. He goes, "Not home, please." He goes, "Let those snowbirds freeze." It's probably a similar situation what's happening this weekend because the weather's taking a turn for a dump up in Cleveland this weekend as well.
Oh, really?
So, oh, yeah. It's going to be bad.
And what day does he leave? Is he leaving Sunday?
Brother, the only information is the text message that I read you. Once again, I land in WP 4 p.m. Friday.
Are there direct flights Cleveland to Palm Beach?
Nope.
The Browns are on bye.
That's why. What he'll do, he'll fly to Lauderdale and rent that godforsaken Mustang convertible that he loves getting when he's down here.
Oh, that's so exactly he's not landing in WP.
No,
he'll be in WP
by 4 o'clock.
Hey, one thing to look forward to, you get Chiefs Bills this Sunday.
Yeah. I'm assuming he'll leave Sunday night. That's usually how it goes, like when he's in town for one of these things. And my dad, they did something new in Cleveland with the show. He does 8 to 9 alone, and he's obsessed with it. He's obsessed with his...
Well, he's been going viral recently for his Browns reaction. It's been working out.
8 to 9 a.m. on Monday.
No, Monday through Friday, right. And then just 9 to noon, and then Aaron and Emmett do 12 to 1. So, like, they've switched up the schedule a bit, but I'm about to text him, like, you know, we could set you up down here. You could stay down here for a week. You can set him up in the prod room next door.
I mean, you probably can if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Of course, Tony Rizzo hosts a really big show. ESPN Cleveland, Mike's father.
I'm fantastic at giving no context. But yeah, dad's coming down, and I don't know what the hell's going on, but he's coming down.
Have him go to the Inter-Miami game.
It's in Nashville.
Have him go to the Inter-Miami.
He can sit in the control room.
Have him go to the control room for Inter-Miami in Nashville.
It probably beats being at Auntie Eileen's from noon to 6 o'clock doing God only knows what.
What time is the game on Saturday?
It's at 7:30, so okay. I start at 7 o'clock. Like I said, we got time. We got time Saturday to do some stuff.
Yeah, that's funny. Buckeyes. And you'll definitely watch, you might be able to watch the whole game.
So watch the whole Ohio State game. But yeah, it's this weekend. So Auntie Laura, Uncle Jay, Thursday birthday dinner on the actual birthday, Thursday night in Lauderdale.
You got a good weekend planned.
And then, I got some stuff planned.
Or you got a dinner on Thursday in Lauderdale.
In Lauderdale, correct. Okay. And then Friday... After the muck, I'll be able to see my dad.
Mike's 31st birthday coming up in 2 days.
No, my 25th birthday.
Mike's turning 25 for the next 25 years. So
awful for 25.
Yeah. Oh, God, me. Yeah, I know. I know.
It's like what I always say to my mother, Mom, happy 28th.
Yeah, correct.
Happy 28th.
You know, a teammate who's my age, and I'm not going to throw them under the bus.
Oh, wow.
They come up to me and go 31 or 32, and they're my age. I go 31, and that person goes, yeah, it stinks. Every birthday stinks after this.
Wow.
So, yeah. We're in the same boat on that.
Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Cat will do our top 10 college football poll, our own poll, presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. It's all coming up after this. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Can you bet on games going into extras? I'm sure you can.
You can live bet. Are you kidding me? You can live bet anything.
Bet all that action. And you can bet on the over, the under, player props, you name it, all on the Hard Rock Bet app.
And Colin, what I'm going to be doing on the Hard Rock Bet app, I'm going Dodgers tonight. I'm going to go on that run line. I'm going to find me someone with some great odds for that anytime homer. I think all the mojo was lost for the Blue Jays last night. I hope I'm wrong. I'm rooting for a good series. But what I'm doing right now, I'm going to log on to my Hard Rock Bet app, and I'm going to bet on the Dodgers tonight on the game. The good news is, though, folks, there's plenty more than just baseball. Kyle, we had the Equinox. We had the Equinox yesterday, which means you had NHL, NBA, NFL. Yeah, everything in action at the same time. Let's have some more fun with Hard Rock Bet coming up tonight. You got NBA games. You don't have NFL tonight, but I always tell everyone, Colin and Christian, I tell everyone on these football lines, get the good lines now. If you like a game, bet on it on a Tuesday. Because the fact of the matter is that down the line on Saturday, Sunday, when you relook at the lines, they're going to be all juiced up from everybody getting in on the early action. Do that with our friends at Hard Rock Bet. It's on the Apple App Store, Google Play Store. And if you put down $5 and win a bet, you get $150 in bonus bets instantly offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. If you're concerned about gambling, call 1-833-PLAY-WISE. That's 1-833-PLAY-WISE. I'm big on the Dodgers tonight with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet.
All right, let's get to it. Let's put a top 10 together, our top 10 college football poll presented by Greek Moving and Storage.
Who's moving up?
Went from unranked to the 14th team in the country.
They were more motivated going into that game.
Who's moving down?
Can they have a good season after this? Maybe.
It's time for Russo and Rizzo's College Football Top 10 Poll. Presented by
Good Greek Moving and Storage. Your superhero movers.
Folks, go to GreekMoving.com. GreekMoving.com. My guy Spiro and his boys will be able to handle things for you if you are moving. Good Greek sponsors are top 10 power rankings on the college and the NFL side. Tuesday, college. Thursday, NFL. And it's time to get right into it. Now, Colin, I want to ask you, I know last week we had the same top 10 as the AP did last week. My question to you, do you change anything?
Yeah, all right. I got a couple things in mind.
I personally think, like, because the AP on theirs, they moved Tech down, Ole Miss up, and then they moved Miami out of the top 10, and they moved BYU into the top 10. Brother, I don't care who they beat. BYU is not in my
number 10
of anything. I understand the Big 12, maybe they deserve some respect. They've beaten some of the better teams in the Big 12. Comparatively to the teams Miami has beaten, I don't think they should be punished. They won 42-7, and we're going to punish them.
All right, here's what I got a couple in mind. So, like Mike said, our top 10 last week in college football was as follows. Number one was Ohio State. Number two was Indiana. Number three was Texas A&M. Four, Alabama. Five was Georgia. Six was Oregon. Seven was Georgia Tech. Eight, Ole Miss. Nine was Miami. 10, Vanderbilt. And then the 11 and 12, the first two teams out, were Texas Tech and BYU.
Yep.
Before we establish this, I think all those 12 are staying in the 12. I'm okay with moving the rankings this week. Why? Because certain teams didn't play, and certain teams got big wins or okay wins. One of those teams specifically that I'm down to punish is Oregon.
And let's get to number 10. We'll find out where Oregon
is. Number 10.
All right, so we had Vanderbilt here last week. Miami had a game against Stanford. Fine, they won easy. Vanderbilt had a ranked win. And I know Bro Pabula went down, but it was a defensive-minded game. They got a ranked victory. They're sitting at 10. I'm okay with the leapfrog if you want that.
Yeah, I think Miami checks in at
number 10.
They had a good win, 42-7. Now, granted, that game was 7-7 at halftime. And Hurricane fans are probably going, oh, God, here we go
again. They didn't play great.
And then three touchdowns in the third quarter really put that game out of reach.
I'm fine with putting it just because Vanderbilt got a better win there. And Vanderbilt has a much, much, much harder schedule the rest of the way. But I like the idea of Miami's still top 10. But Vanderbilt's at Texas this week, too. Yep. They got another chance to move up.
So let's do – 10 was Miami. Now we're on to
– number 9.
Once again, this is our top 10 college football power rankings presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. Go to GreekMoving.com.
All right, number 9, Vanderbilt. You like that, or unless you want to make them higher?
I think you got to put them here because out of the undefeated teams right now, you have a – right now in our 12 that you've mentioned, Indiana, Ohio State, and A&M, they belong in the top three. Georgia Tech is undefeated. BYU undefeated.
Well, BYU, do you want to take... All right, so here's the thing.
No, BYU stays where they are. They don't sneak into the top 10. I'm okay with that.
And they were, they were losing in the second half to Iowa State.
Correct. What I'm trying to distinguish, Kyle, who's...
Number nine.
Should you put Georgia Tech or Vanderbilt here? Should you put Tech or Vanderbilt here?
I think Tech higher.
So Tech at probably eight and Vanderbilt at
number nine.
See, here's
nine.
The thing. We're a little hypocritical because if Georgia Tech's undefeated, why are we giving Georgia Tech benefit of the doubt top 10, but we're not giving BYU the same luxury?
Yeah. ACC, I mean, comparatively.
I do think the ACC is better than the
ACC
Big 12.
ACC comparatively, but I'm fine with Vanderbilt at nine. That's fine. I wanted to make that because Vanderbilt has impressive wins. Tech is under the same umbrella. I disagree with the Buckeyes, but Kyle, you told me the Buckeyes haven't played anybody. I don't think Georgia Tech has played anybody either. So I'm fine with that. That moves us to
number eight.
And this is where Georgia Tech.
So we had Ole Miss here last week. This is not going to be Ole Miss.
Ole Miss goes up. They had a big win on the road. I'm completely okay with going with Georgia Tech at
number eight,
which leads us right into
number seven.
All right, I got one here. How about I think Oregon's here.
I cannot believe that. Colin, that game was 7-0 at halftime.
I'm actually fine. If you want to flip-flop really quick, we have Georgia Tech at eight. I'm fine to put Oregon at eight.
They won 21-0.
21-7.
That gimmick touchdown in the fourth quarter.
That's the worst team in the Power Four. That's the worst team in the Power Four.
The only reason I
don't like punishing a win. This is an exception.
Are you with me now? Hang on.
Go ahead.
I need to get on you a bit here.
It's a little hypocritical.
You love Dan Lanning and you love this team.
I do.
And you've been going to bat. I've been telling you this team isn't very good all year long.
They didn't have a good. I think they're pretty good. They just didn't have a good game. It was a downpour, classic Oregon game. But you got to get punished eventually if you don't have a good, convincing win. We can leave them at seven. I'm fine with that because they are in the Big Ten. And, you know, they're eye test a better team than Georgia Tech.
I'm fine with putting. We were on that godforsaken spread.
Terrible.
That's fine. We'll go Georgia.
Number seven.
Oregon at seven.
Sorry, Oregon at seven. And then that moves on to
number six.
All right, so the six remaining, we have Ole Miss, Georgia, Alabama, A&M, Indiana, Ohio State.
I think Georgia checks in here. I think
Georgia beat Ole Miss.
I get it. I understand that.
I think this is Ole Miss. I don't think that's fair.
I think that win, though, by Ole Miss, I think it guarantees them a spot in the playoff, and I want to reward that.
I 100% agree. They're getting this. Hey, we're doing top 10. They're getting in. Ole Miss has a great, great chance. I think Ole Miss is staying here.
Okay.
You got to do it off the transitive property.
It's okay.
Alabama's got to be ahead of Georgia. Georgia's got to be ahead of Ole Miss.
So six, we're going with the running Rebels and Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin, by the way, everyone is getting Lane Kiffin if you talk to a Florida fan, an LSU fan, and or any vacancy that is open.
Number six, Ole Miss, our ESPN top 10 college football playoff poll presented by Greek Moving and Storage. Number six, Ole Miss. Number five?
Number five.
I think this is Georgia.
I think we could go rapid fire here with 5-4-3-2-1. Five.
Number five.
Georgia.
Yeah, didn't play last week. Fine.
Four, Colin.
Number four.
I argued last week that A&M was going to lose to LSU. It didn't happen. A&M blew them out of the water, and Brian Kelly is going to be coaching UMass.
It's Alabama.
It has to be. I personally think Alabama is the better team. But to be fair, A&M with another big road win.
And South Carolina had them on the ropes.
I'm going to have to start buying into A&M at some point if they keep winning these games. Their offense, listen, what was impressive with me, Marcel Reed threw two interceptions in the game, but he threw for two touchdowns, ran for one, and 100 yards in the game. So number four. Bama. Number three. Texas A&M.
Yep.
And then number two. I know you want to put Ohio State here. I'm sorry. We are putting Indiana here. Indiana did, again, Colin, they won by 53 points. Huh. I'm getting sick of Cincinnati running the score.
Oh, now we're tired of the coach.
Because
they're too good. We're now tired of the coach. You got to win by 30 like a man. Not 50. You got to win like 30 like a real number one team.
I'm not doing this year. You got me. When I say I'm not doing this year, let me finish. You guys legitimately had me worried about Indiana last year going into that game. I thought there was a world in hell where we were going to lose to Indiana at football. I'm not doing that this year. Are they a good team? Are they maybe a top five team? I'm starting to get there. I'm starting to get that they are a top five team. I understand all that. For them to be
number two
in our Good Greek Move, or our top 10 presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage on the college football side, I still can't believe that they're number two, but here we are. here we are.
So who did Indiana pour it on over the weekend?
UCLA.
So that was running up the score, and
it was running up the score against Illinois. It was running up the score against Illinois, and it was running up the score against UCLA.
Now, Illinois and UCLA, they have the tools and the power to prevent that from happening. But a school like, Grambling State, I don't think they have the tools to compete with a Power Four school. Well, so why did Ohio State put up 70 points on Grambling State? And you said that's a reason as to why Ohio State is hands down, undisputed, no doubt about
reason,
it, number one in
the
country.
The reason Ohio State put up 70 is because they scored 14 the week before and didn't get to run any of their plays they wanted because they played number one team in the country.
They
played,
need to get better reps.
Guys, they played at the time. Listen, we can sit here and talk if Texas stinks or not. I'm starting to think Texas stinks. But at the same time,
I mean, they had a good comeback win over Mississippi State, but they are choked.
You can pour it on when it's convenient for you. You can't when it's not.
No, that's not true. They poured it on because that's what that game is there for. You pour it on against godforsaken State. And also, Ohio State had the backups in the third quarter.
Run the ball.
They had the backups in the third quarter. So I don't want to hear that. There's a difference between running it up against Grambling and running it up in week 13 in week 9 when you've done it every single game.
Is Indiana's backup Fernando Mendoza's brother?
Correct.
I didn't even know that.
He had a rushing touchdown in the game.
Yeah, he did. How about Alberto Mendoza?
I didn't watch that.
It is completely.
I didn't even see that.
It is much more ethical to run it up against teams that would kick the crap out of you.
That's why
it was 5 years ago. You know how many times Indiana's got their crap kicked in?
You're dead wrong here.
Oh.
You're dead wrong here. You schedule Grambling after Texas so you could win 70-0. God forbid you lose to Texas.
So if we pay the team to come, we can beat the crap out of them. But if we're in the conference with the team, we shouldn't, because
it's
classless.
It is a proven fact that Cignetti is not liked in college football circles and runs up the score.
Are you in college football circles?
He is a bad guy. But I know someone who is. No names, please.
Yeah, right. I'm not asking if they like him. I'm asking if you like him.
It is known that Cignetti is not a good sport, and he runs up the score. All right?
No one likes when you're number two in the nation. You got a lot of schools that are below you.
So we hate them when they stink, and now we hate them when they're great.
You won't
give them their credit because I think you're a little intimidated by them.
I'm looking forward to the Big Ten Championship. Very much so. I think the Buckeyes will probably lose to Michigan and will have the record to face Indiana in the Big Ten Championship. And I'm looking forward to that.
You're projecting a loss against Michigan? That's tough, man. You can't. Number one in the nation.
Wow. Is Ohio State the third most feared team in the Big Ten outside of Michigan against Ohio State and then Indiana?
No. They're the most feared.
Oh, they are.
They're the most feared.
Oh, they are.
It's just a mental block against Michigan right now.
It's a mental block.
I don't know what it is.
You think there'll be a mental block against Indiana in the Big Ten Championship game?
No. We stopped the cigarette last year. We're going to stop the cigarette again.
Are you willing to admit that this year's Indiana team is probably better than last year's Indiana team?
No. They haven't played anybody. They haven't played anybody. You got a gung-ho coach who's running up the score on bad teams.
Bad guy coach.
Running up the score on terrible teams. And he played a decent team in Oregon, and if the quarterback didn't turn the ball over four times and Dante Moore, they'd lose that game. So,
if the quarterback played better, you know, you're right. I guess if the offensive line played better, if the receivers caught touchdowns.
Did he drop the ball all those times, or did he throw interceptions?
You know, Arch Manning wasn't terrible. Ohio State would have lost to Texas.
That's actually true.
Well, Ohio State also had the training wheels on Julian Sain. It was his first start ever.
What about Arch Manning? The
only touchdown that Texas scored was some godforsaken touchdown that got given to him by the referees.
Remember, they didn't get the fourth and goal.
And Sonny Styles picked that ball off.
They didn't get the fourth and goal.
Sonny Styles, that was an interception.
Quinn Ewers playing for Texas. Ohio State has a loss on their resume.
Quinn Ewers was playing for Texas last year and got strip sacked by Jack Sawyer, and it did him in.
Oh, better team.
On the goal line.
Great team.
On the goal line.
Mike, it's a great team.
We're a great team this year as well.
No, Mike, not a great team.
We're undefeated in the number one.
You guys are okay.
We have the best defense since 1993.
Mike, you guys are okay.
Listen.
You're okay.
The Ohio State slander on the show.
All I'll tell Ryan Day is schedule a tough team once in a while.
You guys can cope. All you want on this show,
Mike.
Okay,
you're now saying that he's a bad guy. Indiana's got no class.
Buckeyes are the best team in the country.
Indiana's been winning for 2 hours, and now we're all of a sudden they're classless.
The Wisconsin fan and the Penn State fan cope for Seven more weeks until we get to the college football playoff.
I understand, Christian.
Anyone, when
Christian,
we're watching Ohio State, Christian's dumbfounded at Hard Rock Stadium,
why Penn State's like this. I can understand. I knew Wisconsin was going
to
be like
when
this.
When we're watching Ohio State at Hard Rock Stadium, we'll circle back around to this conversation of Indiana on October 28th.
The thing is, I never for once argued against Ohio State number one. But to discredit Indiana at this point in the season is foolish.
They haven't played anybody.
You can't use that argument, but then Ohio State's number one. You can't do that.
Ohio State is a proven team. A proven team. They're the most successful team since the turn of the century.
And they
comparatively, body of work, season to season.
It's probably
winning
LSU.
Season to winning season. They are
LSU's probably had more success.
We have, I got to stop with the weeks. The Buckeyes have three national championships, 02 last year and 2014. LSU has two.
Did they not have three? Was that Saban? What year was that Saban one?
Three. But the body of, hear me out on this.
Saban was 02.
Ohio State doesn't lose four games. LSU loses three or four games every other year. The Buckeyes haven't lost four games in 15 years.
Here's what I don't like. We can't determine last year to figure out this year. And that's what you're doing with Indiana and Ohio State.
I'm determining last year because Ohio State has pieces returned from last year, and the guys this year have already proven that they're on the level of the guys last year.
They're on the level of Texas and Washington.
The defense
and Wisconsin.
1993, the best defense since Dave Drudas, Florida State Seminoles in 19. I don't care who you play. They're holding these teams to 6 points, Colin. I know Illinois. Illinois put up, 16?
Not good.
Brother, they turned
Indiana, that, Illinois
they
stinks.
They were struggling to get into that game.
Illinois stinks.
Yeah, I know. And they blew them out and covered the spread.
They blew them out.
Covered the
Hold
spread.
Hold on, that's classless. You can't blow a team out.
No.
Yeah, you can't
there's
blow
a difference
team.
Between blowing.
You can't do that.
There's a difference between blowing.
Mike, you got to win by 17.
There's
call
a difference day. Between. They did, actually, hysterically enough. There's a difference between blowing a team out and winning by 55 points.
Listen, I thought it was a little classless the way they handled the
OT.
Wisconsin game. I thought it was.
They won 34 to nothing. Mike, that's a respectable score.
Game was over a 21-0. Yeah, they could have put it.
The
back
only
up to
game Day is going to run up this year if he has the opportunity is the Michigan game.
Oh.
That's the only time he won't hear. That is right. That would be rightfully so.
There's
to run
our
up
weekly.
I'm so confused as to how you're saying Indiana hasn't played anybody when their biggest win is bigger than any of Ohio State's.
Probably their two biggest wins.
Christian.
Beat Iowa,
Christian.
Too, on the road.
I can't take that serious coming from a Penn State guy.
Oh,
when Oregon,
Penn State.
Oregon was dead by rights, Penn State lost to Northwestern in that building. And Oregon was dead by
Who's
rights.
Who's underrated? Northwestern. Underrated.
So
we're doing
Penn
this
State,
transitive nonsense where we can just look at common opponents.
Yeah. Mike, here's the problem.
Indiana didn't play anybody last year. They got to the playoff and got bamboozled. It's going to be the same thing. It's going to be the same
you
exact thing.
You can't argue
this
they
year.
Haven't played anybody because they beat Oregon at Oregon. They beat Iowa at Iowa.
It's going to be the same exact thing with this Indiana team this year, and I can't wait for it to happen.
This is our weekly Get Mike All Riled Up about Ohio State. Every Tuesday.
You guys
every Tuesday at the top
play,
of the hour.
You kids fall into the Indiana trap again this year. We'll see how that goes. They blew out every godforsaken Big Ten team they
classless.
Played last year as well.
It was classless.
Because that's what that coach does, runs up the score.
And he's a bad guy, too, according to Mike's sources.
I heard he does not tip the car guy.
He's a bad guy.
He's
a bad guy, cuts people off in traffic. You know, he's a bad guy. Mike?
He never returns his car to the supermarket.
Mike? Well, we'll talk after the Big Ten championship.
Okay.
How about that?
Well, here.
Are more Cignetti, like, details going to leak from that, like after the championship
Mike's
game?
Mike's leaking them right now. Cignetti, quote, bad guy, New York Times.
That is why Indiana is not number two in the country, because Kurt Cignetti
is a bad guy.
He does not tip his barista.
Mike?
We'll stomp the cigarette again.
We'll do the
Google
five and
me.
Five.
Google me. We'll stomp the cigarette again.
We'll do the 5 and 5 on the other side of things. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.